Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our Lenten sermon series, Listen to Him, is continuing. We talked last week about the light of Christ and how the light of Christ should fully illumine us. Leanne talked about Jesus wanting to come into even your attic, but the light of Christ should fully illumine us, and that we also should be the light of Christ to others in the world. It is my prayer for you that you are walking through this Lenten season and that it's going well. Lent is a season for us to remember our need for a Savior, to remember the reason why we need a Savior, and then to remember the cross and the price that was paid that we could be forgiven. All of this is to get us ready for the great celebration of the empty tomb on Easter. But I think before we get to the celebration of the empty tomb, we first have to go to the foot of the cross and to understand what was paid that we might be able to celebrate the resurrection and our grace. So when the world thinks of Christians, of believers, what do you think comes to their mind about us? Hypocrite, maybe? That could be one. But I think, in fact, I know that a lot of them think that we are just a bunch of rule followers, that we have a list of things that we don't do because that's the rule. They think that being a follower of Jesus means being good because he told us to follow the rules. Now, if you go and you read the Gospels, not even all that closely, you will find that the Gospels are not about following rules. The Gospels are about our being transformed by the love of Christ. The Gospels are about embracing the teachings of Jesus Christ, about having faith in him as Son of God and Son of Man and our Savior. The Gospels are not about following rules. They are about being transformed by the love of Christ. It's about experiencing the holiness of sanctifying grace as we walk daily with Jesus. Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke. And I have to be honest with you, when I read it in preparation for this, I read the first five verses and I was like, this isn't very familiar. I mean, often I will look at scripture and sort of embrace it as a friend that I know really well. But I was reading these first five verses, I was like, I don't remember the last time I read these. Now, the other verses are good. I remember that part. But the first five were a little shaky for me. But let me share these with you. It comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, 1 through 9. At that very time, there were some present who told him, and him is Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think because these Galileans suffered in this way that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. If not, then you can cut it down." This is the word of God for the people of God. So those first five verses that were not so familiar to me are about an historical event that we know nothing about. There is nothing in the records of Josephus or other writers that tell us anything about these particular events. Now, I believe that these events were well known to the hearers of Jesus as he was talking and as he was teaching. The speculation of scholars is that Pilate had some Galileans killed while they were worshiping in the temple and making sacrifice. And so that their blood was mixed with the blood that they were using to make the sacrifice. And historians will tell you that this is in keeping with sort of the violent nature of Pilate and the way that he treated the people there. The second one is an event, seemingly a tragic accident. A tower collapsed and 18 people were killed. It's speculated that it might have been an aqueduct project because it was near the pool of Siloam. But there's nothing in history that tells us any more information about these particular acts. But we have one that is an act of abject cruelty. The other one speaks to the randomness and accidents that can happen in life. Now, the Jewish belief at the time is that those people, those Galileans who were killed while making a sacrifice, and those who the tower fell on and were killed, somehow they deserved it. They were sinful. They had done something against God, and God smote them because they had done something wrong, something sinful, something that God did not like. The Jewish understanding, the Jewish faith at the time had a really transactional understanding of faith. And the belief was, if you were good and just and righteous, good things would happen in your life. And that if you were sinful and you were doing things that were offensive to God, bad things were going to happen in your life. So the thinking about these people was they must have done something wrong. And in telling this story about these two things that happened, Jesus is dismantling this thinking of the Jewish people. He is teaching them that suffering is not the result of personal sin. Instead, he shifts the conversation to the condition of the heart. The real issue is not the external circumstances that are happening around us, but the internal transformation of ourselves, of our hearts. Jesus is telling them to repent or they will perish.
Repentance, it's a big word. It's a big thing in our life. Repent. The Greek word is metanoia, and it means to change your mind or to turn around. To repent means that we recognize our need for a Savior. And we often associate guilt with this feeling of repentance. But Jesus is not saying we should feel guilty. Jesus is saying that we can't stop at repentance. That when we repent, the next step is that we get to experience God's justifying grace. Because we repent, we experience God's grace. Repentance is not about self-improvement. It's not about following the rules. Repentance is about transformation through grace. Transformation through the grace of Jesus Christ. It's not about just avoiding sin. It's not about following the rules. It's about having your heart transformed. Jesus then tells the parable about a fig tree. Now, when you plant a fig tree, typically within the first 3 years or so of its life, it begins to bear fruit. And this fig tree has borne no fruit. So the master, the owner of the vineyard, is ready to cut it down, take it out. It's doing nothing. And the gardener comes along. And the gardener doesn't just ask for more time for this fig tree. No, he's going to nurture it. He's going to care for it. He recognizes that it has been in place. It has been taking nutrients from the soil, absorbing water from the rain, and it has produced nothing. And yet, the gardener is willing to spend some time to help this tree bear fruit. I don't know about you, but I read this text and I can't help but think, am I producing fruit? Or am I like this tree that is doing nothing for the kingdom of God? How are you doing on producing fruit for the kingdom of God? Have you allowed your heart to be transformed such that you become more like Jesus every day? Have you let your heart be transformed and experienced the sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit working in you and on you? Are you being fruitful for the kingdom of God? If you feel like the answer is not very fruitful, don't fret. Don't worry. Because we have a gardener who is advocating for you and wants to nurture you, wants to guide you, wants to help you become fruitful for the kingdom of God. This is the nature of the Holy Spirit working in our life. It's what we as Methodists claim as sanctifying grace. And we need to allow it to work in our life. And we do that by attending to the means of grace, ways that we get to experience God's grace. Those means of grace are worship, study of the Word, regular reading of Scripture,
prayer, and receiving the sacraments. These are all ways that we can experience God's grace in our life directly. The Holy Spirit is willing to work in you and on you to help transform your heart so that you can become more Christ-like every single day. And I would love to tell you that I do that and I'm on this linear curve, like, woof. Sorry. Not this preacher. My growth curve, my more Christ-like curve, it looks like this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and this, and this. For me, it's an up and down thing. I have moments where I feel like I'm really doing good and I'm really being fruitful for the kingdom of God, and there are moments that I am lost. I'm sure that's not your case, but it is mine. You see, the life of a follower of Jesus Christ, it is not about obedience to a rigid set of rules. It is not. It is about being transformed. It's about allowing God's grace to work in your life, transforming us from the inside out. It starts with our heart. Jesus does not want us just to behave. He wants us to become like Him. He wants us to be transformed. So today I am encouraging you, do not settle for a faith that is just about avoiding sin. Do not settle for a faith that is about following the rules. Don't settle for a faith that is just simply about, I'm going to try harder. Embrace the grace of Jesus Christ that is available to transform your heart, to transform your very being, so that you can be more like Jesus. Fortunately for me, fortunately for all of us, God is patient. God is patient with us. His gardener, the Holy Spirit, it is working in us and on us as we try to faithfully walk with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, let's not just behave. Let's become like Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, our failures, our sin, it is ever before us. But we know, Father, that through your grace, it is behind us and that we are forgiven. We ask, Father, that you would transform our hearts, that you would make us open to being changed by your grace, by your Spirit, by your presence, by the teachings of Jesus. We ask, Father, that we would become a little more Christ-like each day. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.